Hello, Ken. I mean, Neo.
Who are you?
I am the architect. I created the new universe. The first universe I designed was quite naturally perfect. It was a work of art, flawless, sublime, a triumph equaled only by its monumental failure.
It's only two possible explanations. Either no one read it or no one knows.
I have since come to understand that sales eluded me because they required a lesser mind. Thus, the answer was stumbled upon by another, more intuitive editor who kept talented people on the books long enough to build a following. Except for one cowboy artist who needed to do everything his own way and tear down everything we tried to build.
The Star Brand.
You are here because the new universe is about to be destroyed. Its every living inhabitant terminated, its entire existence eradicated.
You won't let it happen. You can't. You need new IP to survive.
Hope. It is the quintessential human delusion, simultaneously the source of your greatest strength and your greatest weakness.
If I were you, I would hope that we don't meet again.
Welcome back to the Spinner Rack, New You Maniacs, here at Season 5 of the Marvel New Universe Comics Podcast, the voice of the new universe. We're your hosts.
Andy with the Star Brand number 19.
And
And
Steven with a million crazy conspiracy theories.
we got a good callback to like doing a skit at the beginning of our show, but then also long pauses between our introductions. It's retro.
New You classic style. There we go. The new universe was launched in 1986 as an imprint for Marvel Comics, dedicated to a more grounded, less fantastic approach to comics. The original idea was the world outside your window, and it included real-time progress. The new universe has changed a lot in 2 years, and now we are starting 1989. The world knows about paranormals, and the U.S. government has started capturing and drafting them into the Army and CIA. Pittsburgh has been destroyed, forming the pit, and creating new, sometimes twisted paranormals. Only one issue remains for each surviving series, and they all seem to be headed towards a war. With our podcast, you can follow along with us each week as we go through each remaining comic in the order they hit the spinner rack, or just check out individual comics if you already have a favorite. Counting down to the end, 8 comics to go.
Sadness.
It's been a long road. We are also available at our homepage, kickersinc.com, where we have actually posted fun stuff. Thanks, Andy.
I'm working on it.
The new U publication schedule is now available if you ever want to double check to see when things came out. I think it's both when they shipped out and the newsstand. So either way you like to count it. And we are still available over on X at Kickers Inc., where I'm told if posting is much like putting your memes into a spam folder for someone. Nevertheless, other we do not have the energy for other social media engagement at the moment.
Nobody gonna see it anyway, so all right, this week we get to the end of the line for Star Brand. Where it came from, how it got to Earth, what energies it employs are mysteries, at least until now.
They were.
Whoever wields its power can do virtually anything. The only limitation to its use is the imagination and courage of its wielder. So yeah, this week, Star Brand number 19, our Marvel Age solicit was, it's the final issue and it's filled with surprises. That's all we dare tell you about the searing tale written by John Byrne, with breakdowns by John Byrne, finished art by Tom Morgan, 32 pages, Mando paper, direct sales, $1.50. Searing tale. Think, sear that into your brain that somebody decided this was called a searing tale.
John, what's the most generic description of your last issue? It's a searing tale.
I
Something.
think Tom Morgan was on vacation too, so no Tom Morgan.
We will also be discussing how this explanation fits as li the likely final word of the cosmology of the new you.
Right, yeah.
This we our little skit for a little explanation is that. It's one of these few times when you get a bit of a like a character talking to a godlike figure or the writer. I think it's sort of a getting a chance to get some explanations that have been held back for a long time.
Right. What's up with the whole Dutch count thing? Maybe we'll find out. Maybe not. We will see. We will see. So yeah, Starbrand 19. This is the May 1989 issue, though it probably came out February 14th, 1989. And sadly, I don't think it gives us any good dates in this one. But so it goes. The cover is just, the title, the star brand sort of image itself, that like moon star shaped thing, and I don't know, like a really lazy MS Paint background.
Wow, you remember last issue was like the photo of the White House and like a lazy MS Paint?
Yeah.
Wow,
I mean,
double down.
it kind of looks nice, but it's definitely lazy. Like, it's going for like iconic a little bit or something, but I don't know, it could have been definitely better. It does have a big finale at the bottom and on the top, that gimmick that Marvel did for a while, and anytime a series was ending, it would be like number 19 in a 19 issue limited series. I thought that was clever when I saw it the first time, but then I did it like a zillion times, so.
Oh, okay. I only saw it on the New Universe books, so.
Yeah, the Transformers comics did the same thing. That was the first time I saw it. And it was like
Ah.
82 issues or something.
I see, I see. That was probably a similar time frame, right?
Must have been, but I did not think of that soon enough to actually check and see. So it goes. All right. We open the book. It's basically still got the old breakdown of what happened so far. Of course, Ken Connell got the star brand from the old man. He blew himself up and created the pit. He then was sort of resurrected as like a crazy raving lunatic. The power seemed to, for some reason, be transferred to a baby that Debbie Duck had. I don't know who this Madeline Felix character is. Who then, because like all babies in comics had like accelerated aging and was the Star Child and stuff. And the Star Child just screwed around a bunch, gave the power to an old guy, resurrected a really boring guy. So it's been passed around a little bit, but currently resides in Wilford Brimley. But also the star baby, because if you take a portion of infinite, it's still infinite, yada, yada, yada. But Ken's still moping around, maybe as a raving crazy person or whatever. But at the very end of the intro page thing, it says, "Now everyone who has ever wielded the star brand is united for one last cause." So I guess that's what we're getting. It's mildly interesting. And then, yeah, John Byrne wrote it and did breakdowns. Then we have Jeff Albrecht with finishes. So,
So I did look him up, and the only like Marvel credit he had before this was one of the backup stories, Justice 23, as an inker. So his and then two books for other companies as well. So he is fresh off the farm
yeah.
when he does this. Goes on to a pretty long career in inking. So
Okay.
no, I don't want to shade the guy, but yeah, this is. Not the finest.
likely handing it to someone to do the work. And of course, I was kind of curious to see like how carefully the breakdowns were, right? Because breakdowns could be like a messy thumbnail, or it could be like a fairly detailed sketch. So who knows?
Yeah, it's probably changes project to project. I would also point out that this is the full extra length issue, and I think that's the maybe the first time Byrne did that. Maybe wrong. Maybe for like the number 12 or when the real big
Right.
events he did the whole thing, but.
We'll see if he can keep it going for that long. So the opening page is a big old red letter finale. And we get a shot of basically a snowy field with some grass poking through a pile of rocks, which is apparently the grave of Madeline Felix, which this character I don't really remember from this book.
It must have been some other book or just public culture at the time, or like the Where's the Beef Lady or something. I don't know.
Right. So died February 29th, 1988. I guess that, I mean, supposedly that's how who they renamed Debbie the Duck. But
I think she
anyway,
had a birthday at some point, but they don't bother.
we do get some kind of fun narration boxes, even though they're kind of pointless. The wind from the pit blows hot as a breath out of Hades. Dry grasses stir, mistaking this for the summer they have not felt in over a year. Behind a seething mask of steam, the great volcano grows, the living magma of the violated earth oozing up to bubble and burn, waiting. So I have to say, I always kind of miss the stuff that they don't put in real in modern comics anymore.
You'd be a little more purple with your prose there, buddy. I
I
don't know.
love it. But anyway, it says here there is death. And then we have what looks like what Ken looked like last time we saw him. So it's a grown man, long blonde hair, blonde beard. But the narrations is, I do not have a true name. I've been called by some the Star Child, but I'm not of the stars, and though I was born barely a year ago, I am no longer a child. So the Star Child, Star Baby, has been growing quickly, but now looks like a full-sized Ken Connell, basically. So he's dead. Oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, the time frame isn't really specified, but based on it's a year ago since the end of February 8, so we'll assume this is about the time that it comes out,
Yeah,
mid-February,
so it's supposed to
February
be
89.
around a year since then, yeah. But yeah, he's standing over the makeshift grave, basically pile of stones, and since for long minutes I stare at the crude pile of rocks that marks the final resting place of the woman who was my mother, the woman I killed. Then my power reaches out. So basically he floats all the stones up and up over the grave, and then looks down into the hole. Great. Thankfully, I suppose they don't show us Duck's corpse, but he talks about it. I'm also a little surprised they don't. Just Burns been a little funky, but
It's about as respectful as that the intro to the Deadpool Wolverine movie that came out this summer.
oh, geez,
This
yeah. And so, but so he kind of looks and puts the rocks back in place and says, "I reclose the grave. I have learned what I came here to learn. I depart. I feel a growing sense of urgency. The loop must be closed and soon."
so he's heading towards Chicago.
No idea what the point of this part is, honestly. Maybe we could talk about it at the end, but I don't know. If
Sometimes I
there's,
feel like they want to emphasize that this character is dead or something,
I
and
guess.
even though we said everyone else who gets the Star Brand comes back to life or some, and there's no way for the her baby to have gotten it except through her.
Right,
But
I
anyway,
guess.
no, I'm probably overthinking that one. But yeah, the it starts off with the philosophizing that we're going to get a lot of. It's,
Yeah.
death and life, big pictures, blah, blah, blah. So let's go from there.
Closing the loop. Next page is, I guess, in a big pile of rubble, what I guess at least John Byrne draws Ken Connell to look like. So we get a new narration. So it's him thinking this, you know, it's hard to believe this could really be my fault. All this death, all this destruction. I've tried to separate myself from it all. I haven't been very successful. My name is Ken Connell. For about a minute and a half, I was the superhero known as Starbrand. Then I did something stupid and the whole world changed. And, you know, he's sitting there, you know, he's back to normal, as in, like, you know, reasonable. He's not like a raving image of Jim Shooter, basically, as he was written before. But he's still dry shaving himself with a little mirror, which is kind of what a psychopath would do, I think.
It's a, I mean, while he's camping out in the pit debris zone, it's left to the imagination. I know he was around there before the last time we saw him, but now that he seems to be kind of getting it back together.
Yeah. And so he's putting on his green puffy coat. It says, I guess the moment the old man gave me the power, I was trying to reshape the world in my own image, which of course the character never actually tried to do in the book at all. But it's like, this is not what I had in mind. So again, he's talking to himself while thinking how he was insane after he destroyed Pittsburgh. You know, but since he mo died most recently, his sort of mind cleared up, you know, for reasons. And it kind of ends with, now, like, all I can think of is finding a way to make some kind of reparations for what I've done. I'm prepared to do any. So I guess he's back to being reasonable. So we're each page is a new Star Brand in loose quotations. So remember, Wilfred Brimley Gramps made a bubble on the moon of, like, this nice little neighborhood for just him and his grandson to hang out in, which is not too weird.
It's great, Billy. Those people aren't around anymore, and we can do all the fishing we want without being bothered. Anyway.
So Gramps is fishing, and he basically, you know, they both kind of notice that something's strange. They have sort of a strange feeling. And Billy says, like, you're not using your Star Brand power. He says, no, I ain't used it hardly at all since it brought me back to life after I fought the president. I wonder what. So, and then they just ran out of things to put on the panel, I guess. There's like a blank spot, which I almost never see in comic books.
It's kind of funny that, yeah, he doesn't have an internal monologue like Ken does, but I didn't really think of it at the time, but this sort of disappearing at the end is also reminiscent of the White Event. So
You mean the empty panel?
yeah, when it's just, I don't know, the
Yeah.
using the power, and
I think it's just slacking.
this is also, okay.
And then we cut to Roger. And the first thing he's thinking to himself is, I tell you, the worst thing about not having superpowers anymore, driving back and forth between Mansfield and Cleveland every day. So, like, he's in a yellow van stuck in traffic. Also,
Well, I didn't have to
never.
move out to the suburbs, but it's what we call good schools. It's not a racial thing at all. Anyway, I'm
Yeah.
happy around other people,
Also,
but I and commuting away from them. Sorry, wait.
he didn't really have superpowers. He was
This
just
is
like
a
a
good
big, tall, buff
question.
dude, right? Like, maybe his superpower had, like, max insane endurance or something, but.
He dreamed he was a superhero, but that was like obviously over the top, like not a real event. So
It's like, so it's back to being plain old Roger Price, fundraiser and part-time DJ. I want someone to come up with Roger Price's really lame DJ playlist. And then there's
worry
another,
about
like,
Roger
blank,
Price.
another panel that is empty because we just don't feel like drawing it, I guess. We cut to the pit. Again, some sort of basic narration. Yeah, the pit, a cute name coined by so-called journalists. So-called. Somebody died in a
Right
helicopter
on.
over that pit, who find themselves unable to speak unless it is buzzwords. A cute name for the place a million people perished. I mean, it's not even cute, right? It's kind of dark, right? It's the pit. Anyway.
Does this Andrew Chaser show up here?
So yeah, we get some more images again, like if you're trying to draw stuff really fast, some clouds are pretty quick. So we get sort of this roiling purple cloudiness inside the pit. Says at the bottom of the pit, matter surges and roils. Some is molten magma, spew of the great volcano growing here. And we've got these green bubbles. And then some of the goop starts to form the shape of a person. So, some of it is something else, something alive.
A bit like a
Swamp Thing?
swamp thing, yeah.
Yeah.
It also says some is pit juice, a totally inert, utterly mysterious substance.
Yeah, form of
Inert? The stuff
shattered
that caused all
elements.
those mutants? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't really make any sense, but so it goes.
Well, I mean, when it formed of the shattered atoms of everything that stood there, do atoms shatter, Andy?
I mean, I guess, but that's like nuclear vision stuff.
Yeah.
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 Oh, yep, okay. Next page, Jupiter, because again, this gives you can fill up the page really with a really large thing that doesn't take much energy to draw. The greatest of the planets. So it gives some Jupiter details, which again, like, why? And there's a not a moon, but just a somewhat large, rock fragment, remnant of an ancient moon, or perhaps the debris of a world which never was, torn apart in its birthing by mighty Jupiter. The mile-long rock is unremarkable. It has escaped the attention of several probes of the Jovian system. That sounds very Star Trek. Small, uninteresting, until now.
I don't know which probes went by there, but I this must have been, after the point where instead of thinking, oh, there's just like four moons of Jupiter or something, you send something there and it's filled with
Yeah,
space debris or
like
something,
40 of
and
them or something.
you just think, well, that's very current
Yeah.
astronomical knowledge. Cool.
So like four figures kind of teleport onto the rock, and it turns out it's Wilford Brimley, Roger Price, Ken in his silly looking green puffy coat. Give the man his like a brown shirt or something. And
That
then
motorcycle jacket, man, that was
right,
fun.
yeah, something distinctive. And then Starman, what do we call Starchild
Starman
now?
baby.
Starman. Ooh, I like that.
They are now talking in the airless void of
Hey,
this moon.
why not? I don't think
You
that
remember when
even.
Starbrand was like semi whatever,
Yeah.
realist?
No. I mean, it's hard to remember that far. And so, they're all here. What are we doing here? And it's like, calm yourself, gentlemen. You are in no danger here. And as to who I am, for the sake of easy reference, you might call me Ken Connell Jr. And Ken, actual Ken, I guess, looks at him and says, Ken, wait a minute. What is this? I'm Ken Connell, and you're too old to be my son.
Also, that paternity test came back negative, and I definitely won that suit, don't
Right? I
you?
mean, it was on Maury Povich. I mean, everybody knows. Roger recognizes him as the Star Baby because he'd seen him a couple times as he's been sort of aging up. And Brimley chimes in. He's like, "But you're the Star Child, right? You told me anyone with his Star Brand power could never really die." And he's like, "Huh? What do you mean this here? You've got it too?" So, like, Ken hasn't really been around, so he didn't realize Quaker Oats guy is the current owner of the Star Brand or part of the Star Brand power. But
I'm
again,
surprised they can't like feel it in each other, somehow.
or only when it's convenient to the plot can they feel it.
Junior, I started calling him Junior in my notes, although
All right.
he says,
Starman baby.
now my body begins this long, slow decline towards death. I'm not really sure from the art how old he's supposed to be. Like, if he's supposed to be like 20s, 30, you know what I mean? This is
Yeah.
like that's like your peak, and you'll just start rolling downhill from there. But I don't know. Yeah, good news for your beloved podcasters here. Ouch.
So Starman Baby says, since my birth, I've shared the power which I inherited from you. I placed it into Roger Price when I resurrected him. I placed it into Jacob Burnley, aka Wilfred Brimley, so that he might restore order to the world while I sought the origin of the Star Brand power. And Brimley, of course, at least is recognized as like, yeah, well, I guess I ain't done the best job of that. As far as that goes, Junior, world's still pretty messed up. It's like, yeah, you ignored the big giant volcano, you moron. Instead, tried to beat up the president and just made him more evil, apparently.
And crazy.
Yeah, so yeah, we get some nonsense. You know, no single being, however powerful, could hope to cure the ills of all the world. And it said, you're trying to find the origin of the powers that we brought us here. Did you learn something? I have. I learned that the power of the Star Brand is too great for any mortal to possess. So great it threatens to destroy time itself. What? So, cliffhanger, I guess, of conversation. We get a little bit of action as we go back to the pit. I guess there's still guys from the army kind of wandering around scanning stuff. So, we got sort of the classic guy in the suit with somewhat futuristic looking metal detector tracking vague energy signals. Increase in the power curve at the end of the pit. According to our instruments, you're right on top of it. So yeah, I always like the vague energy stuff, but basically the guy's kind of looking around and then a weird gummy monster comes up, but it looks exactly like that strange, you know, what happens when a Star Brand holder dies. So presumably this is what was forming down in the pit. Then it starts screaming, Connell, where is Connell? It's like we're wondering about that in the comics ourselves. It grabs the guy, where is Connell? And throws him to the side. It's like, ah, you know nothing. You are useless to me. I must
This is
find
the
him.
audience stand-in.
Right. I must find him. Our business is not yet done. I must recover the power I gave him. I must ruin that nice ending that we got in Star Brand 7. I must return to my home in the stars. So he goes flying off, and the hazmat suit guy's like, Central, did you track that? Am I crazy or you're not crazy, Maruni? We saw you, saw it, and whatever it was, it's the source of the energy we've been tracking.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, back to the rock floating around Jupiter. They're like, what do you mean time, the existence of time? It's like, how could anything threaten time? That would endanger the entire universe, yes. And yet that is just what I believe to be at stake here.
Wow, you're pretty grandiose there, Star Dude.
I know everything by flying around and thinking a little bit.
Can't even leave the solar system. That's pretty weak for a
Right? Right?
standard.
I've learned the origin of the Star Brand. I know now that important laws of nature were violated in its creation. If a way is not found to restore those laws, the universe may simply unravel like some great ball of string. And that, my friends, means the end of everything. But, Junior, how can we stop it? And if it's as bad as you say, even the Star Brand power? A moment. Yes. He's finally regenerated, as I knew he must. Jacob, before I can answer you, there's something you must do on Earth. So he sends
Sorry.
Wilfred Brimley to go gather up the old man, mutated-looking monster thing.
Instead of just poofing him there like they did to everyone else.
Well, maybe he knew they needed to talk it out a little bit. So
Jeez.
Brimley goes down and kind of recognizes it as like that regenerative form that he had been in when he got nuked by Voight. And again, yeah, I like this audience stand-in is like, you possess the power? What? This guy? He's like, you must have gotten it from Connell. Where is he? You know, tell me or I'll blast you into atoms. And Brimley's like, don't get uppity, Mr. Ugly. The Star Child sent me to bring you to Connell, and the rest of us have the power. Come on along, peaceable now, and I'm liking this more and more. Cause, you know, old man, mutant old man, then nukes Wilfred Brimley and just kind of roasts him. Of course, he's basically unkillable. So for a while, then afterwards, Wilfred Brimley just looks like a nasty burn victim. So it's just. burnt all over, all the hair and has gone, but seems sort of unfazed from it otherwise.
Yeah, if the whole like book had been multiple star brands doing this to each other, at least it would have
At
had
least it
a
had some
solid
action,
payoff. And
yeah. So like Brimley fires back, and then they kind of shoot at each other, like Dragon Ball Z style, like who can grunt the most while they're firing energy beams, and which one's gonna push the other one out of the way, and cloud of smoke kind of thing. So they get a big explosion as some child's drawing of a cartoon airplane flies by. Base from GK907, do you copy? So then we've got Hanrahan, pilot, who just happens to be flying around, noticing the crazy explosions, maybe paranormal activity. His boss tells him to get in as close as you can and take a look, which I'm assuming you don't really need to fly next to the explosion to see what's going on. But anyway.
If you're like, well, at first I thought it was a nuke. Well, get in there closer to something I thought was a nuke.
Yeah, so he's flying in directly towards the giant energy explosion. It's okay, Bobby boy. Looks like you just volunteered for the kamikaze run without knowing it. Let's go in and see what you can. And, it goes about as well as expected. The plane gets caught in an energy blast. He ejects. But then the parachute catches fire and he goes tumbling down to earth. Burn victim Brimley kind of notices it as they're fighting, and then fires off like another blast of energy, kind of like classic Star Brand power, where he just bursts with energy. He's like, oh, that ought to hold him a bit. Anyway, where'd that pilot come down? So naked, burned up, Wilfred Brimley flying through the air. Yes. Exactly what you thought you'd get out of the Star Brand finale when we started it
And
with issue one.
little something for the ladies.
Right. But yeah, he flies down, recognizes that the guy's chute didn't deploy, or it deployed and burned, and so it's just like a pile of broken limbs. So the guy looks pretty bad, pretty crumpled up in his flight suit. Burnley comes up to him, he's like, he's alive. But he won't be for long. His insides are mush, every bone shattered. Because I guess Star Brand Power can tell that kind of stuff too. I was like, it's all my fault for rising to that idiot's attack. All right, no point in crying over it. I got the power to do something about it. I'm going to use it. So he energy beams him into healing powers? Yeah, sure. All right, so after Rimley's all done healing the pilot guy. He flies back to Jupiter again, maybe just give me that convenient teleport again, right? Like, why you make me fly all the way
Doing the
out
hard work and
here? and so we got naked burn unit, Wilfred Brimley, and
this is
mutated
like
old man flying together like two old chewed up pieces of gum.
it's like Tyrone in Psi-Force, except worse. Worse.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I like this part too, because, again, there's some dialogue and they're basically like catching up. But then Starman Baby then restores his physical form. So it turns the mutated version of the old man back into, a mediocre drawing of the old man. And it is we who got the power from him. The old man, the one who gave me the Star Brand in the first place. So it gives him the outfit and everything. So, like, why make him look iconically old man where Ken's got the puffy coat and Wilfred
Yeah.
Brimley looks like he's chewed up?
You know, he doesn't, yeah, zap Brimley back at all. That is
No.
weird. He just
Leaves
like
them all burnt up. So yeah, and again, like, I killed him once and for all for before the destruction of Pittsburgh. Yes, but as you yourself know, Father, an annoying thing about the Star Brand is no one can ever truly die after having been with it. So yeah, so they get a little recappy. The old man has vague memories of the blast that formed the pit and the second white event. Roger chimes in, it's again, you've assembled everyone who's ever been touched by the power, but why? What do you intend to do now? It's like, I would have thought it would be obvious, idiot. No, I mean, Roger, once he
Even to
saw,
you, Roger. Ugh.
didn't even want to be
Disgusting.
buff. Moron. He's like, once you saw my father, the old man, and myself all together, look at us closely, Roger. Ignore the superficial effects of age and hardship. And then we get a nice panel of like Ken on the left, Starman Baby in the middle, and old man on the right. He says, we three are the same man. What? It's like, I'm not sure how you have sex with Duck and then give birth to yourself, but okay. All right. Why not? Why not?
As I said, it's a little hard to tell whether Ken or the baby are supposed to be older, like which one.
Assume they're supposed to be around the same age. It's just one's got the big wavy beard and hair.
No.
But you can kind of tell, like, and from some of the panels before, like, you could kind of see the facial structure and the nose in particular. And you know, old man thinks this is stupid. Again, I do like him as a stand-in for us. He's like, what madness is this? I'm not Ken Connell. I was born in Holland 500 years ago, or so we all thought, as my father once thought you were an alien from deep space. I know now the truth to be neither of these things. Let me explain. It's like, oh dear. Time for the explaining.
This better be good.
So, as my father eventually learned, you attempted to divest yourself of the power and had come to think of it as a terrible curse by placing it in an inanimate object. As it happened, you selected an asteroid. It was then you learned the power required a higher intelligence to write the book, I mean, control it. The asteroid exploded, leaving you with 10% of the original power, 10% of infinity. The explosion was the first white event, bathed the Earth in unimaginable power. What you did not know, and I have only recently discovered, is that the power of that explosion was sufficient to shatter the barriers of time and space and strike you, old man, 500 years ago. Oh, yeah. So the white event traveled back through time and then became the Star Brand. And yeah, okay. Makes sense, right? We all like this explanation.
Oh, great. Asterisk. See me in 5 minutes.
5 minutes, yeah. So Burn Unit Brimley's like, wait a second, the Star Brand created itself? It's like, yes, Jacob. The fraction of power planted in this man grew to become the infinite force behind the white event.
Oh, come on.
Exactly. That's what Ken says. I mean, I might not be the brightest guy who ever came down the pike, but that's impossible, is it? The explosion of the white event unleashed an energy like none ever seen in this universe. It recreated the genetic code of millions of individuals on Earth. Maybe one, maybe two per million people. We don't know. Created mutants, monsters, even one real ghost. Like, oh, the witness. Where have you been, witness? Something, something, particles which rushed out into space at speeds much in excess of that of light. Recall the central theory of Einstein's theory, the central truth of Einstein's theory that which exceeds the speed of light must regress in time. That is what happened to that bolt of Star Brand energy. All right. Says no, the old man doesn't believe it. You know, they talk a little bit about how, you know, like the alien and the super weapon story was just like a convenient thing for Ken to believe. Something that apparently the Star Baby came up with. He says it's a lie which I placed in your mind, or soon shall, at any rate. Oof. Rogers, this is starting to make my head hurt. You're talking past, present, and future all in the same time. And again, like a nice look at you know, Burn Unit Brimley just looking on.
So bored. So bored, he says.
Yeah, so he's like, imagine a universe in which the chronological order is broken. A universe which grandson might well be born before grandfather. To imagine such a place is to imagine chaos unbound. And like, so how are you gonna fix it? He's like, by creating a Morbius loop? Wait, morbid
Mobius
time?
loop.
Not the vampire guy.
So,
Mobius loop. It's like that funny three-dimensional infinity symbol thing.
but then he says what? Read the next paragraph then.
Yeah, I propose to become my own father.
No. The ancient mystic symbol of
Oh.
the serpent swallowing its own tail. That's the Ouroboros
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying.
or
Yeah,
whatever.
like that's also a symbol that you could have shown. It's not the same thing. Right. Because the other one's got that funky, like, three-dimensional effect where, like, you sort of follow the face of it and it does sort of strange things. So the Star Baby says, I propose to become my own father, and he in turn shall become the one we know only as the old man.
The old man, in turn, shall become the star child. Weird, isn't it?
I
No, yeah,
think the
this
old
is
man just turns into nothing, I guess.
dust. Yeah, the implications of this are just, I propose to become my own father by sleeping with my own mother. Oh my God. Dude, are you okay?
That's not good.
You
The
need
old
a
man's not
mental
feeling
health
it.
check.
The old man's not feeling it. He's like, don't be a fool, Connell. You and I have enough power combined to crush these weaklings. Like, again, would be kind of an interesting attempt at an action and scene in a comic book. It's like, we could go back to Earth, we could rule. Ken is thinking reparations though, right? So he says, no, even if I had the power, which I don't, that's the way I used to think. I used to think I had some kind of inside knowledge that I was the only one who knew. So again, this is like trying to rip up Jim Shooter for some reason. Every time it's like, but I was wrong. I see that now. A universe can't be forced to follow the vision of a single being, no matter how tall and running Marvel editorial. It's a cooperative effort.
Message for you, sir. Message. All the
Anyways.
individuals working in their own ways to create a whole that's somehow greater than the sum of its parts.
Right. And we don't care if it's on time or not. Or how well you
Somehow,
did.
dude, he told you to like redraw a couple of pages in X-Men like 10 years ago at this point. Are you really going to hold that against him forever?
Right. I mean, clearly he needed someone to tell him to redraw some of these pages, so. Or I guess have Jeff Albrecht do it anyway. So Ken is okay with this. Basically, the plan of no longer existing, all of the Star Brand energy, is gathered here so that they can wipe the slate clean, do some sort of time travel mumbo jumbo where the Star Child will go back in time and become Ken as an adult or something, maybe. And Ken goes back in time to become the Dutch Count, or maybe the old man when he shows up in issue one. I'm not really sure. The old man kind of rages for a minute and kind of glows with power and a badly drawn image. He's like, no, I won't let this happen. I'll destroy you all first. But Ken just kind of talks him down. He's like, no, you won't. And, okay, that's the end of that. I says, Connell, please, I'm frightened. He's like, I know you are. I am too, but this is the way it has to be. Don't you see? We can't stop it. It's already happened. And he's like, it has already occurred. Yes, Ken Connell, the old man, and I are three parts of the same whole. We always have been. He's like, what do you propose we do first then, son? I mean, me or something?
Do you need a hug first? Because are you
Yeah.
mad at your dad? Is that why we're doing this?
This is the three parts must be fused into one. We must become the single entity required to accomplish this task. Then the last iota of power must be drawn from these two gentlemen. No trace of the Star Brand energy must exist anywhere but in the single being we three shall become. Okay, and now I'm losing it. So they're all going to fuse to become one Ken, but then go back in time in separate locations and become both the old man and Ken?
This is
Maybe?
the part that, yeah, I had vague memories
Right.
of like there being a time loop and Ganon the old man, something, something. This is one of the parts that had completely eluded me, that they fuse together
Like
again.
Okay.
My diatribe will contain several paragraphs with reference to this as well.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
I mean, okay, let's just say Star Baby was born, had a mother, right?
Right.
Ken, we saw his mother at some point, and sister. He has a family. Ken definitely grew up as a person. He isn't just some thing from nowhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, old man exists, and then Ken is born, and then his son is born, and then somehow they all become one and go back as the old man.
Right.
Anyway, let's
Anyway.
see if Wilfred and Roger can make any sense of this before we leave.
So we go back to near the pit. So
This looks
not,
exactly like the area on the
yeah,
boat.
except it's not.
Oh, and outside the pit looks like either a trash zone or it's a nuclear waste, except it's not, again.
Little Billy's there reading a stack of comics, in particular Fantastic Four number 288, Doctor Doom versus the Beyonder, if you look closely.
I could see the Fantastic Four, but I couldn't make out the number. Thanks.
Yeah, I paged through my stack and it's definitely 288, which
Okay.
is an older one, but a Byrne comic. It's a John Byrne Fantastic Four.
Okay. Yeah, I expect it.
Thankfully, so he's not horrifying Billy. Wilfred Brimley is back looking normal, just wearing like a white shirt and pants. Again, if you can create pants out of nothing, why not give him his original outfit? But okay. But yeah, Brimley's going back to Billy with Roger Price in tow, just to kind of check and expound a little bit more. It's like, we went on a little bit of an adventure. And Roger's like, you really think this is gonna give everything a chance to get back on an even keel, though, Burnley? The world is still seriously messed up. Paranormals everywhere, threats of war, and that volcano in the pit. It's like, I'm not gonna pretend I even know, Roger. The old world's been messed up as long as I can remember.
I'm giving up pretty fast here.
Yeah. So yeah, he's kind of, again, just, Connell and his kid and the old man are back in time somewhere, 500 years back, wandering around, some self-imposed amnesia, knowing only that they're supposed to be some kind of royalty. So they amnesia'd themselves. And then the old man is still there, but maybe not. So
I
it's,
think they fuse into one, and that one character goes
yeah, I guess that
back.
makes sense.
It's amnesic, but it has to get hit by the Star Brand energy that's traveling back into time.
Yeah, I mean, I get
And
that they
then
can go back and become the old man, but then how does the Star Child become Ken? But
that's the thing. They're just fusing. That
yeah,
doesn't make any sense at all.
so yeah, they start talking about this as it's basically been like a cycle, like, so he's got to be there. Yeah, this whole thing's already happened, maybe been happening over and over lots of times. Seems to me there's no reason to assume this was the beginning of the cycle. What about Connell? I wonder. Oh, never liked him much. He's one of those falsely self-effacing people, the type always diminishing himself so others would feel like they had to compliment him.
I
But
hate you
yeah.
so much, Roger. Let me just get that in before his last panel.
Right.
I hate you so much.
So we don't know. All we know is the Star Brand power is sealed where nobody can ever get at it, locked away in a neat little loop in time. So, okay.
And there's a few things of, like that Ken is going to be suffering forever and he's going to spend
Yeah.
eternity in a kind of living hell, which is, again, did he? Is this really all his fault? It's
Yeah,
like
and he
people
had made a
blame
comment,
Myron as much as
something along
me.
the lines of like, like he might be like conscious of his former self, but still forced to kind of live out, all of the same events kind of thing. So like he'll be tucked away in there somewhere, viewing everything while, alive Ken makes all the same mistakes kind of thing, but. Oh, it's like, well, I guess it's all neat and tidy, no hanging threads or anything left behind. Everything's all wrapped up nicely. And then we get a page of the pilot that Wilfred Brimley saved in the hospital. And everybody's kind of remarking, like, how in the world did you survive? Like, I know my parachute was burnt up, all this kind of stuff. Can't imagine. And, it's like, yeah, he's like, well, I guess all those years my mom made me go to church finally paid off, huh? Still, I wish I knew how I could have fallen so far and end up with nothing to show for it but this funny little scar. So he holds up his hand. Notably, the guy looks a little bit like Ken. But on his hand is like a little faint star brand outline. Like, oh no, like something went wrong. I guess the star brand's really out there. Maybe somebody else could pick up this plot thread. Never, ever again. But we do get one last final page, which is a really, really terrible looking, lazy final page for the end of a book. It's just black MS Paint stars and planets. And it says, there's a weapon in the universe more powerful than all others. No more coveted, feared, loved, or hated thing exists. Only a fool or a madman or the right man would ever dare possess the Star Brand. The end. So yeah, that's it. I guess something time loop, and the Star Brand is gone, except maybe it's not 100% gone. There's some pilot guy.
Frustrations never end. To begin with, let me just say that, whether it's my memory or whatever was playing tricks on me, the part of the leaving it with the pilot has always been kind of a mystery to me, whether that's like breaking the cycle or just outside of whatever they're trying to do,
Right. I
perpetuates it.
just assume they were just trying to leave a little door open to a future story or something.
That's fair.
Also,
It's
maybe
a
just razzing Shooter for how similar the Star Brand beginning was to Green Lantern, because it's basically like the pilot has an accident, gets the power kind of thing.
okay. Yeah, that's a good connection I didn't see. Oh my goodness. So as I said, this is one of the things that maybe it's, like I the last time I read these books, I did Star Brand and read backwards or something, but I had some memories of this, and like the details, there are some good ones, but also some very messed up ones. And does it hold together very well? I don't think so, or at least I have a lot of arguments with it as I go along.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest problem is probably the star baby being Ken Connell. It just doesn't make any sense.
No, that whole Oedipal complex idea, I shoot out, no way. No, you can, I mean, I have like a later theory of that. Star Baby is more like the brand itself trying to, copy Ken or something, you know what I mean?
That would have made
Like,
more sense.
yeah, there was some like reference to it from like some writer's notes or something about it being like a symbiote or a parasite or something. If you can imagine, it has like only, very glimmers of consciousness or something that it like, maybe if I, instead of being used by these people, I try to create a body for myself, I can. He was
Right.
always like, yeah, more like so in control of the brand power. He can do whatever he wanted and all that.
Right, like it could have influenced the old man to give it up, and that's why the old man wanted it back, kind of thing.
I don't know. There's something like that in okay, I will sort of accept that. But this part of like Ken and the baby and the old man being one person, that doesn't fly at all. Like we said, Ken has a family. He didn't grow up as a, at
Right.
this as his baby or an old man. He's, they have independent lives. So okay, saying that they fuse together somehow. Okay, maybe, but here's my just, I don't want to start off with my best observation. Tell me if it's the worst, in fact. Okay, let's say there's a time loop involved and the old man is Ken. So where does the old man come from? He comes from the future.
Right.
Yeah, Ken is born, gets the Star Brand, lives, and let's say many years later he's losing his power, or he's the king of the world, or he wants more power or something, and he thinks, where can I get it? Back in the beginning? So he comes back to like steal it from Ken as a younger guy. And every time he fights him, he's like, it's like the struggle for his own future self. If he continues down, like thinking of himself, that he turns into this jerk in the future. But if he had somehow like improved himself and thought more of other people, the old man thing would sort of stop coming from the future to try to hassle him.
Okay. Like a Groundhog Day type situation.
That's also it. I mean, fundamentally, how does a time loop work where you're at the end of it? Like, it feels like with the white event and everything, we're at the beginning of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And in some ways, the whole new universe, you could fit into this time loop. And then, okay, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I do like that sort of aspect of it. It's like, all right, well, Ken is all that's left then is, for Ken to have to cycle back and relive the same things over and over and over again. And that's like us, the reader, all we got is these 19 issues. Like, so you can go back and read them again, and it's always
Exactly,
going to turn
yeah.
out the same,
You're
whether you
always kind
want it
of
to or not.
hoping that,
Like,
yeah, things
right.
turn out better, but it
But you can
doesn't.
always go back to issue one and start it over again.
Indeed. Yeah, that part I is a good observation. The idea that the energy from the white event travels back in time, I'm not like that doesn't that's not too crazy, but the idea that like it's just one bolt of it that goes to a specific spot 500 years ago? Come
Yeah, and like,
on,
did it
man.
do that in the black event then? Like, it's
Another good
got some
point.
holes there.
Yeah, the questions just keep coming up. My question then also is giving this well, let's make my take a look at my notes here. The
Another thing.
so the pit, the white event, yeah, what, yeah, why didn't the black event also cause something like that? The white event, it versus the pit. Do you remember like the white event was like covered the whole world and everything went white,
Right.
but the pit, you just saw a white sphere. I kind of wonder if the white event, we were like inside the bubble, you know what I mean?
No, I don't know what you mean.
No, I mean, it's like if in, you're inside the zone
Oh, I
that of
see what you're saying.
energy,
Yeah.
that it's not like, you know, this thing just destroyed the Earth. It's like it shifted it into magic universe or
Like it
something, you know
was
what I mean?
larger and more diffuse. So instead of just destroying everything, it kind of bathed everything in a little bit of energy.
Well, it's like we also kind of, you know, just as comic book readers think if a city disappears, that it's not just destroyed, it's like moved somewhere in space or time or another dimension or something. So, you know, you didn't get anything like that. So that's just all very speculative on my part, but.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of like a big difference between the two events, right? Presumably the same thing happened, right? It was a person giving the power to an inanimate object, right? Yeah, there was destruction because Ken was closer to Earth, but why didn't it do any of the other stuff, right? Why was it localized to that perfect sphere? Right? Was he trying to, because there were some bits of him like trying to hold it together or something, but yeah.
Oh, I don't know if
It's
like the whole
messy.
solar system or is like the same thing happened as happened to the pit within that solar system. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, the Star Child says he is going to give the old man this suggestion post-hypnotically to make up this alien story to tell Ken. If you can tell people a post-hypnotic suggestion and then send them back in time, why don't you stop the pit? Why
Yeah,
didn't you get off
time
the
loop, man. Can't change it. Just gotta loop it.
it's like the it's not so much Groundhog Day, which would okay, as that Star Trek episode where they're time looping from the next generation, and they sort of become aware of it, and they're like, how can we send a message back to ourselves to get out of this? It's been a while in the new universe, but the idea that you would be, well, the pit, that's a fixed point in time. You can't do anything to stop that. Absolutely insane. I mean, if you were a comic book hero, you would find, or at least strive towards that goal.
Yeah, I guess like a little bit on 12, they're talking about like, well, the problem is that the universe is unraveling, right? So like things are getting weird because time is messed up. So he's trying to fix it by like restarting the loop, and that must be the done then, like to not change anything kind of thing, right? So it's sort of that, he's just trying to bring everything back exactly the way it was, not change anything, just because otherwise the time problem, the vague time problem, doesn't happen. So that, I guess they're kind of trying to explain that, like, why don't we change things? Why don't we sort of fix it
I
a little
think
bit
you
there?
can't stop the white event, but you could stop the black event. That's my theory. If
Yeah,
you understand how I'm sort
but then
of,
they
the
wouldn't,
white event creates
then you wouldn't have
itself.
the Star Baby, and then
But
you wouldn't.
within, Ken was sleeping with Doc. That wouldn't have, you would have had a star baby, but I don't know. I think,
Our baby would have had parents, or at least a parent.
Ken wasn't really going to be a great parent, but okay. They also allude to this with Brimley and Roger talking, where he says that maybe it's been happening over and over for a lot of times. I don't know if you remember, this was in the book of the New Sun. This was also something that kind of comes in at the end. The guy sort of slowly realizes that he's somehow been in a time loop himself, and that this wasn't the first time this must have happened to me. I kind of
Yeah,
like
I only
that.
read it once, so I've only unlocked like 10% of that book, I think.
It's a I mean, there's a number of well done time travel stories, so don't I do enjoy a lot of them. I there was the even just last issue, Burnley was saying that the Star Brand was the power for paranormals. So I always kind of wonder if you actually did take all the energy back, whether all the paranormals would then be depowered.
Yeah, that's true. Though he said something like rewrote your DNA kind of thing. So it wasn't necessarily like white event energy that is being
Yeah.
used for paranormal power. It's just more like mutation-y kind of stuff. But
It's a good question whether it's the ongoing power source for paranormals,
yeah.
or they sort of have their own energy now.
I mean, ultimately, they kind of just wrote themselves into too many corners, right? So, like the original showdown, like if you, the old man always left questions of whether you believe him or not, I think in the original couple issues, but he had mentioned having like another power kind of thing, like it was weaker, but he knew how to use it better kind of thing.
Right.
But it wasn't necessarily, you wouldn't, I don't think you'd have to have been stuck with the idea that every time the Star Brand transfers, then you keep a little bit of it.
Yeah, if
Was
it
like tying it to the white event then kind of messed that up too, right? Because again, like if you're giving it away and creating this big blast, then but then you still have it and you survive, and like
Yeah,
it
all of
keeps,
that.
then we keep getting stuck with all these weirdo star brands, and then we got to kind of resolve them, and
He
it made it
wanted it
messy.
back, but we could never see whether he or still had his residual one or
Right.
something.
And what's the point of the tattoo if only the one person has it? And everybody else keeps the power anyway. Yeah.
Can more than one person have it at a time? Yeah, Starchild and Burnley and several people would have it at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, they
Don't get uppity.
no check in on any of the other characters or activities. Very little at the pit there
Well, there
again.
really weren't any characters, right?
Right, Mac Browning, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
It, yeah,
He's still crying over the Constitution, I think.
we can live without Jane Price.
I guess Roger didn't really care about her either. It's like, I'm okay with not existing.
I think I these are most of my issues, but I don't know if I noticed it before. But looking at this again, I had a if you look at the we are the same man, this like father son and like an ultimate power thing seems like another veiled religious reference. You know what I mean? Because Ken is the main, you know, the son who is going to suffer for his sins or our sins or something for eternity. The old man is somehow gave him the power, and this sort of spirit is free to work within the world somehow.
Yeah,
If I
Father,
and as I
Son,
said,
Holy Ghost kind of thing going.
exactly, it's so like then Duck would be the Virgin Mary,
Okay.
but the you know the whole several aspects of the burn run on this has been about, you know, like, well, what if I stop death in the universe? What if I do this? You
Yeah,
know?
that's true.
So it all seems like a very casual attempt at a religious theme that, you know, doesn't really work very well.
No, and it
But
would need to be a little bit more explicit, I think, honestly, like to land. Like it has some vague connections and kind of storytelling sense, but yeah. It would have to be more well done, I suppose.
I don't know. So I, you know, while I enjoy a couple of aspects of that, that there's so many issues. I don't know. Is it just, you know, better to not try to explain things or to try to explain and make everyone
It's
get
probably
things?
not better to end your comic with just a whole bunch of people trying to explain things, right?
It certainly is, yeah, frustrating. This is no Animal Man 26 or whatever that was,
We
where
could have
he
just
has like a
had,
heart to heart with his writer and sort
yeah.
of think about things.
We could have had Star Baby just narrating, like at the end, like a page or two, kind of explaining everything and how it was going to go, rather than having it be. Kind of rough dialogue as his characters are like introduced or reintroduced to each other, kind of thing. And then, yeah, that fight of the former Star Brands would have been mildly interesting. But yeah, I was actually a little bit surprised that I enjoyed it. Like I thought it was going to be awful, and then I read it. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I guess it's all right. Like I do quite like the little bit about, the time loop just. In the sake of like, yeah, that's it. 19 issues, right? The time loop is us going back and rereading it and like you said, hoping for a better outcome this time, but it's always going to be the same. But yeah, just continuity wise and art wise, it's just really messy. And if you look into it too much or try and think a little bit or read it a couple times, it really starts to fall apart pretty quickly, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, we'll never probably get a idea of what the shoot original shooter plan was.
No, because he'll never come and visit us on the podcast, even after a year and a half of trying. Not that
Andy
he
is
should, but it
diligent,
would
but
be nice.
yeah, it would be nice. I don't know, follow-up talk would be great, but even if he did, I mean, things that we were going to do, but then, you know, the book went in a different direction. You know, That would satisfy part of it, but you're right. There's a definitive end to this, and while they sort of leave the door open, that's the reader experience. Yeah, fundamentally, we wish we could go back and change things, but aside from fan fiction,
Yeah, and
it's
I
good
don't think there's
organizing.
anything ever else that followed up on this, right? There's a new Star Brand book that covered like what happened to the guy he launched out in space, and then there's Star Brand in like the Marvel universe, but it's always like a different character, like I don't know, Kent Connell or something like that, just vaguely similar.
So overall, you're less unhappy with it in many ways.
Less unhappy than I thought I was gonna be, I guess. Right? I'm like, I think it still needed a better ending, but like there was at least something there.
That's true. I think you had said before, and I wholeheartedly agree with. This would have been great as the very last book of the new universe.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I do not expect, anything that comes after this to, be anything along these lines. And if you're going to say, maybe all of this is just sort of a loop that'll just go back now. Yeah, that should be at the very
Yeah, I would have liked the end of the loop, right? Like there's nothing else left. There's no story, there's no continuation, there's no GP7 going on to grow old. Like it's literally the end of the universe and then it loops back, kind of thing.
That's kind of why I think of it as like it would for me, the loop should be into the future because I think of the white event
Yeah.
as the beginning. And so that like maybe there's future possibilities and at some point it loops back to that. Yeah. But
Right.
I don't know. The going back in time, that's true enough for like whatever. Energy, infinite energy, or something. But
Yeah, I
such
was
a
thinking
weird
about
way of doing
some of our discussion of like how this could have went, and I almost feel like a slightly better version of this would have been, like more like kind of what we said, like more old man fight. So like let's say the old man, rather than being this sort of Ken thing, let's say he is Ken from the future, and but he's lived so long that he's really just kind of lost it. Like he doesn't remember that things that well. He's all kind of messed up, but he goes back in time,
They
and
did the
that's where
trip in
we
time
That's
called
where we
the White
meet him
Event.
in the first place, right? Like he gives up the power, but then he's again, he's kind of crazy. But so like in this issue, he comes back. Let's say he fights Brimley, but Brimley's stronger because he's got the more recent version of the Star Brand, whatever. It's infinite. But he could like kidnap little Billy, convince Brimley to give him his Star Brand power, otherwise Billy gets it, right?
Nice,
Yeah, and
nice.
then he vaporizes Wilfred Brimley as fan service to me, making me happy to like annihilate that character. And then he goes on a tear instead of reuniting, like he wants to steal and kill all the people who had touched the Star Brand, right? He can sense it and feel them. So, Roger gets vaporized, no problem. Again, it makes us happy, right?
Spoken for all of us then.
Right. And then he finds Ken kills him or injures him mortally, but then he kind of realizes that he is Ken, right? Kind of snaps out of it a little bit, Ken still dies, but then this creates the time unraveling thing because Ken can't die if he's the old man in the future. And then the star baby, nonsense. I'm like, okay, what's the only way to fix this is to bring you back in time and start the cycle all over again, and then maybe we can fix it next time, kind of thing. And then maybe they never fix it next time. That would give you some more action, and then, kill off those annoying characters.
It's good, yeah. The tension would be building, and then
Yeah,
you'd
there'd be
have
something.
sort of the thing where maybe you kind of give you a hope of getting out of the loop at some point, as opposed to just, well, nothing we can do.
Yep.
Yeah, it just seems, it's good. I like that a lot.
I came up with this in the 10 minutes while we were waiting for Zoom to let us come back in.
Well, now that Zoom has let us back in, yeah, we can. I, you know, I remain curious whether leaving a brand out of the loop was meant to suggest that there is a possibility that something changed. You know what I mean?
Right.
Is that optimistic? I don't know. This fated to suffer forever is I just thought of it was so nihilistic, you know, accepting this horrible pit and everything, and it's just a bleak future. I don't know.
Yeah. Just one last Burns got it in for this character kind of thing.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's there's I will read it as hope for the future, just because we enjoy the new. I don't know. I think I had mentioned a couple of times I read a book recently called The Gone World. That was a fun time travel book. There was a book called Millennium. They made a apparently a pretty bad movie in the 80s or 90s out of it. I read ages ago. That was a fun time travel story. And I wanted to watch Tenet, that Christopher Nolan movie that came out with like this some time going in different
Yeah,
directions of
I still
that.
haven't even bothered to watch Inception, so it's like
Oh yeah.
all
Yeah,
these
so
highfalutin movies.
yeah, are there any books or movies you would recommend on the time travel, time changing?
Oof. Yeah, not without some ahead of time thinking about it.
We get the best effects from just springing things on each other.
Right.
It's how we do
I
the
don't read
magic.
books. I don't know, I read Moby Dick most recently, and it's like it's not at all real relatable.
Yeah, nice.
Tell you a lot about how whales were taken apart alongside of a boat and yeah,
Sound fun?
it's something.
Well, we never did say. I mean, for me, I would say the pits. I
Yeah.
don't know. It's hard to. Technically, yeah, the. I mean, there's an element or two I enjoyed, but I mean, he didn't even try very hard on the art, so
Yeah, it's
what
one
does
of those
that
ones
mean?
that's difficult to give it that binary up down, like the Siskel and Ebert thumbs up, thumbs down kind of thing. So I guess I would lean towards thumbs down. If I was letter grading it, I'd probably give it a straight C. If the art were better, it could have been a little bit higher, but I think I'm guessing Byrne just like drew nicely some of the faces, like the Starman baby always looks pretty well done. And Ken is kind of okay because I guess he was probably wanted to be careful to draw them like the face is the same because that's kind of the point of the book. But then a lot of the other stuff kind of falls apart. I'm guessing Jeff was not given much to work with, so that's a guess, but yeah, yeah, like Roger on the bottom of page 25 is just like brutal.
Yeah, those last couple of pages with Roger and Burnley seem excessively cartoonish somehow.
Yeah. But oh
No,
well.
actually, the last one, well, 27 then with the pilot, not bad.
Okay, yeah.
Says
I kind of
yeah.
like the idea that the pilot is like a womanizer, a blonde-haired womanizer or something, right? Like, this is just a total restart.
Yeah, I keep there is a thing about this. I can't even remember what movie it is now, though. But like, some action movie where like there's like a cool credits sequence of things flying around at you or something, and then like the end is like a hard cut, and it just does that like same special effect over again, where you're just sort of flying down. a
Okay.
helmet or something. You're just, there you go again. Back where we started.
Yeah.
Vibe to it.
Well, ultimately, the next time I go ahead and read Starbrand, I'm going to stop at issue 7.
I think I mean, mistakes were made.
Mistakes were made. Actually, the
I really.
first, the collected edition volume 1 is not too bad because that covers like the annual and some of that funky stuff, but then also like it ends with the one where he launches the gladiator guy, I forget his name, out into space, and then is kind of horrified that he's condemned this guy that can't die to flying through space.
Maybe.
So if you
Yeah,
just
that's
end it there, like then it's an okay read.
not bad. It's and the other ones were just okay, yeah. But that was a decent story. The whole, I guess it was that one, the Starbrand Annual, where like he always seemed depressed in the corner.
Yeah.
Brought that up again with, I don't know, right? Roy Thomas was like finished 7, and so I think he at least could have continued it in a reasonable
Yeah, one
direction.
of the Marvel Ages said that he was going to take it over, but then it just never happened, so.
Whatever happened behind the scenes there, I think that hurt us considerably if
Yeah, but I mean, that was
he
right
would.
around the time of like Shooter trying to buy and then being like ousted from Marvel, and so.
Oh man, all those behind the scenes shenanigans with finances and the money guys and all that, but, we only see like the shadow of it on the books, so.
What we need to do is find like some old like Marvel romance book that's just straight up relationship drama kind of thing where the characters look kind of similar, like a blonde haired lead, and like then maybe that we could turn that into like Starbrand issue 8, right? Like, it's just, all right, I'm done with all this power stuff. I'm just gonna pursue many women and see what kind of trouble that gets me into.
Great. We could just like draw a little star brand on his palm whenever he's like
Yeah,
looking
right.
at things or something. Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, I was trying to think. I was thinking like sort of it has a like a 60s sitcom vibe to it sometimes of that like well, I made a date with two girls. I think it's
Yeah,
an
right.
Archie maybe too. Yeah. Flying from one restaurant to another. Oh, did I order yet?
Yeah.
Oh, I spill something on yourself. Oop, I better gotta go. Flies back to the other restaurant.
Right.
I mean, it's harmless fun. That's what you want from comic book, right?
Most of the time.
Oh, let's see. Did we cover everything pretty much?
We should, I mean, the ads aren't particularly new, but the back page is kind of important, I suppose, right?
Well, I was
Like
going to
that's.
say, I don't think we covered the timeline, or at least there was something about these. It mentions running into those three paranormals in issue 4 of Starbrand, back in the good old days. At least someone said that, like, maybe those characters would pop up again at some point and around the pit. Never did.
Never
So
did.
I was hoping that was a thing that, like, I just had missed in back in the day. Yeah, the back page is the Daily Bugle, which in and of itself is weird.
Right. That's where Spider-Man works, which isn't real, and so it shouldn't be in the new universe.
But it's got a front page that's, I think, part of the cover to the first issue of the War. So
Basically is the cover, yeah.
says the
I have a hard
War.
time making out who the person on Jack's right is.
The
I mean,
woman?
yeah.
Yeah, I was really wondering because it looks what's her name from G.I. Joe?
Yeah, Lady J.
Yeah. It's kind of short hair. She's
Yeah,
got
because
a
you can kind of
gun.
make out the three draftees and then Jeff Walters and then Pitbull's obvious and Magna Conti's sort of obvious. So maybe it'll be a new character.
Yeah. Think we had any women hanging around Fort Benning. So That might
I
be
think the
something.
last page of Starbrand should have been like a large skyscraper in New York City, like lifting off and flying into space with no damage to the building or
The
plumbing or
plumbing is
basement.
completely smooth underneath. Yeah. Oh, well, there you go.
I guess that's how it does work in real life.
Yeah. This is The War, the beginning of the end. Bugle exclusive, a four-part New Universe bookshelf format series beginning in February from Marvel. Field reporting, Doug Murray. Photo section, Tom Morgan. Special color insert, Paul Mounce. Colorist.
I guess that's what they did with Tom Morgan. Like, instead of doing Starbrand, you're doing the war.
Doug Murray will remember from writing the Merc, most of from like issues 5 to 12. And yeah, beginning February, this, according to the release schedule, would have been out week or the week after.
Yeah.
I'm gonna Yeah, so as far as our schedule, we're going to go through the last issues of the regular books and then start in End the War, even though the first issue of it came out in that last month. Weird timing also there. So, I mean,
Yeah.
okay, guys.
The Death March of the New Universe soldiers on.
Marvel,
Flagship
you could have
book
just called us up and
done.
asked us how to release these things. And
Yeah.
based on internal logic, it goes this way. Well, shall we wrap it?
Wrap it.
That is it for this week's episode. Next time, we finish up with the Teen Runaways turned independent paranormal strike force? Psi-Force.
Psi-Force number 32, last issue special. The Psi-Force team must eliminate a Soviet arms supply route through Afghanistan, but to do it, they must ally themselves with a cold-blooded Afghan paranormal. Written by Fabian Nicieza, penciled by Rodney Ramos, inked by Christopher Ivey. 32 pages, yada yada.
This is dedicated to the brave men and women of the Mujahideen. This is that Rambo 3, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Steve, counting down to the end, we have only 7 comics to go, one for each title and the War miniseries. So, in the meantime, check us out on our website, kickersinc.com, and you can always email us, newuniversepodcast@gmail.com. This has been the voice of the new universe, and we will see you back at Spinner Rack.
Don't let the new universe die.
It was only supposed to make a buzzing noise.
We can't stop it. It's already happened.
Still, in the end, I guess he turned out to be an okay guy.
So it's back to being plain old Roger Price, fundraiser and part-time DJ.